Palm Coast to the council business meeting. It is Tuesday, May 7th, 2019. It is 6 p.m. Please join me in the pledge of allegiance to the flag.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Please.
Mayor Holland?
Here.
Vice Mayor Kupis?
Present.
Councilmember Branquino?
Here.
Councilmember Cuff?
Present.
Councilmember Howell?
Present.
Mayor, all members are present.
Wonderful. Will that open up to public participation? Any member of the public wish to make public comment on items not on the agenda? Please do so at this time. Please state your name for the record. Your 3 minutes will begin.
Resident of Palm Coast. First of all, I would like the mayor and council, what is happening with our Palm Coast golf course? Yesterday, they were doing soil tests, a lot of large equipment on the property that is the few parcels owned by Jacobi Corporation. Anytime there are soil tests, it's going to be a construction. I called planning department. Somebody was going to call me from the Mr. Tyner's department. I didn't receive a call. I am concerned because we own property around our golf course. That's the reason we bought there. And Jacobi owns the land, which is the driving range of the golf course, the land across the street from the restaurant and west of the restaurant, which is used for parking lot. My concern is if the city allows Jacobi to build any golf villas, as kind of was agreed when we got the deed of the golf course with Mr. Landon, then will hinder the Palm Coast golf course activities and will render it useless, and that will take away the value of our homes, our beloved golf course, the amenity, and the beautiful look around that is a plus for the city of Palm Coast in that area. We are really concerned about this, and I want to know if the city have received any plans for approval for any construction of villas on the driving range of the Palm Coast that will render our golf course useless. We, the residents, have a right of grandfathering on that golf course, which was opened in 14th of September 1971, was renovated after we paid $5.5 million when Centex damaged it, and we reopened it in 2009, and we have a grandfathering usage of that golf course. If a developer is allowed to hinder the use of the golf course or render it useless, affects our grandfathering usage and valuation of all the hundreds of homes we have around the golf course. I'm concerned. I just want to have a peace of mind, and the city tell the public what is planned for the golf course with these soil tests that were done yesterday. Also, I would like the city to help with the grant, with the federal community redevelopment grant, to use a few dollars from there to help relocation of some of our homeless. They have done a great job today. We had a meeting on the Flagler County Library, and Mr. Mullins was there, Mr. Howell was there, and they're doing wonderful things for those people. The city has like about $700,000, I believe, for the federal community redevelopment grant that can be used for blight, for homelessness, and to help people with problems in their homes. That's all. Thank you.
Thank you for your comments. Next speaker.
Bill Shelley, Palm Coast. Good evening. I'm sorry I missed the meeting when it was brought up about the public works facility. I think it would be a mistake for the council and the mayor to go ahead with renovations to the existing facility for $1 million. I think it is more important to take care of that issue now. It's been going on too long. You did a walkthrough tour 2 years ago and then again last year. You know what the condition is all about over there. I think if you kick the can down the road for another 7 years, it's going to increase the cost probably at least 30 to 40% in another 7 years to upgrade that facility to where it should be. And I know you folks might not all be here in 7 years as council members and mayor, but I still will be here as a taxpayer, and I'll be footing the bill at that time. I'd rather do especially for the safety, which I know everybody's concerned about. And my second point tonight is I was very disappointed to read in the paper about the employees improperly accepting gifts. I had quite a bit I wanted to say about that tonight, but I think I'd rather speak to some of the council members and the mayor in regards to that. That's future time, and then have a discussion at that point. But thank you.
Your comments. Next speaker. Now, I want to close public comment. I had met with Ray Tyner today in regards to the soil testing that was going on over at our Palm Harbor golf course. There has been discussions with Mr. Jacoby in the past about what could go on that site. Their entitlements have expired. They do not have entitlement rights. It expired a year ago. And so the fact of the matter is they are entitled to about 20-something units. I will be very clear, and I've made this very clear, that there will not be development occurring on that driving range under no circumstances. We have an amenity here that we have invested in, we continue to invest in. The residents have come to enjoy it. It has helped with the property values over in that neighborhood tremendously. And so any type of development or proposals will go through our planning department. Nothing has been put through the planning department as of today. And so that is where we stand. They were notified of their entitlements being expired a few weeks back. So, and as far as the CDBG grant for the homelessness, that's something that I would ask Mr. Morton to look into and bring back to us as an option. And to Mr. Shelley, thank you for your comments. As far as public works go, I think we're all in agreement that this has been an issue that's been overlooked for too many years. And so we are addressing it as a council. Obviously, our challenge is finding the money to do it today. I will say we are actively trying to find funds that we could allocate to accelerate this very important project in our community. We are limited in our borrowing capacity due to the language in our charter, so we can't borrow large amounts of dollars. That is a responsibility of the being to the taxpayers. And so we're trying to do the best we can with it. But I will say if there's an area that we can find additional resources to put into it to move that project forward, we all share in your concerns that it's something we need to address. And I look forward to the conversation about our public employees. We'll move to agenda item number E, which are the approval of the minutes of the City Council, April 16, 2019, and April 30, 2019. Entertain a motion.
Move approval. Seconded.
Moved and seconded. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Seeing none, it passes unanimously. Agenda item number F2 is a proclamation of a Drug Court Month. Councilmember Cuff will be presenting. I'd ask everyone receiving to please come up to the podium.
Drug courts are an effective tool for reducing substance abuse and crime in our criminal justice system. And whereas for 30 years, drug courts have been restoring lives, reuniting families, and making communities across the nation safe through more than 3,000 operational drug courts. And whereas drug courts facilitate community-wide partnerships, bringing together public safety and public health professionals in the fight against drug abuse and criminality, and whereas research shows that drug courts are demonstratively effective and significantly improve substance abuse treatment outcomes, substantially reduce drug abuse and crime, and do so at a lower cost than any other justice strategy, and whereas Flagler County Adult Drug Court began in 2006, and 168 people have graduated from the program, and whereas 78% of Flagler County adult drug court graduates had no new felony charges, and 87% of graduates had no new drug charges. And whereas the judges, attorneys, treatment and rehabilitation professionals, court personnel, and others dedicated to drug courts and similar programs are healing families in this community, and whereas the City Council of the City of Palm Coast recognizes the successful work of the practitioners and drug court participants to reduce the impact of drug abuse in our community. Now, therefore, be it proclaimed that the City Council of the City of Palm Coast does hereby recognize May 2019 as Drug Court Month and urges all citizens to recognize the significant contributions of drug courts and congratulate this year's drug court graduates. Signed this 7th day of May 2019, Melissa Holland, Mayor.
Would someone like to speak?
Yes. My name is John DeGardi. I'm the Flagler County Drug Court Coordinator. And where I could sit here and tell you stories all night, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to say I'd like to take this time to thank you for your support. Without your support, we couldn't become the program that we are achieving to be. I'd also like to personally invite everyone to a graduation. We have a ceremony coming up May 16th. And I'd like to send out this invitation to everybody today. Thank you.
Michael Fallbauer, part of the Drug Court team and president of the Drug Court Foundation. Again, I'd just echo John's saying thank you for your support over the years. And I might be wrong, but over the last 5 years of graduations, I don't think I've seen many officials from the city. And really would urge you to put 10 o'clock May 16th aside and come see us as we graduate 7 of our current participants that have completed the program. So I urge you to hope to see you there. Thank you again for what you do.
Thank you. Okay. We'll now move to agenda item number F3, which is a proclamation, May 18th, Kids to Parks Day. Councilmember Branquino will be presenting.
Kids and encourages families to get outdoors and visit the beautiful parks in Palm Coast, around Florida, and across the United States of America. And whereas it is important to introduce a new generation to our nation's parks, and whereas it should encourage children to lead more active lifestyle to combat issues with childhood obesity, diabetes, mellitus, hypertension, and hypercholesterolemia. Yep. Hard one, but it came out better. And whereas Kids to the Park Day, it's open to all children and adults across the country to encourage large and diverse groups of participants. And whereas Kids to the Park Day will broaden children's appreciation for nature and outdoors. And whereas the City of Palm Coast offers recreation activities such as stroller, buddies, teen mountain biking, munchkin soccer, and our neck of the woods, and special events such as the youth fishing derby to encourage families to enjoy our parks. Now, therefore, be it proclaimed by the mayor of the City of Palm Coast, Florida, May 18th to 2019, Kids to Park Day.
Thank you, Mayor and Council, for your time and for officially designating Saturday, May 18th as Kids to Parks Day. We as Parks and Rec like every day to be Kids to Parks Day. We offer year-round programming for the youth in our community as well as their families to get out into our parks and trails, socialize, and just get away from so much screen time. We have so many activities to offer throughout the year, like teen mountain biking, Munchkin soccer, our recreational camps. I could go on and on. We definitely recognize the importance of Kids to Parks Day. We support it every single day, and we truly appreciate your support as well. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay. Now, move to agenda item number F4, which is a proclamation of National Water Safety Month. Councilmember Howell will be presenting.
That's near and dear to my heart as an ocean rescue guy and as a former Red Cross instructor for over 60 years. Whereas the city of Palm Coast recognizes the vital role that swimming and aquatic-related activities play in providing good physical and mental health and enhancing the quality of life for all people, and whereas it is important to understand the essential role that education regarding water safety plays in preventing drowning and recreational water-related injuries, and whereas the city of Palm Coast offers swim lessons, community outreach programs, private pool safety PSAs, and the Pool Safety Day event to educate the public and spread the practice of water safety, and whereas the City of Palm Coast Parks and Recreation Department maintains first aid, CPR, AED certifications for all staff, as well as additional lifeguarding certifications for its aquatic employees. And whereas we recognize the vital importance of communicating water safety rules and programs to families and individuals of all ages, whether owners of private pools, users of public swimming facilities, or visitors to beaches. Now, therefore, be it proclaimed by the mayor and the city council of the city of Palm Coast, Florida, the month of May as National Water Safety Month. Signed the 7th day of May, 2019, Melissa Holland, mayor.
Okay, guys, keep up the great work.
Thank you.
All right, the zero drowning is the best way to go.
Definitely.
On behalf of the City of Palm Coast staff, I'd like to thank Mayor and City Council for this proclamation. Our aquatic staff every season works tirelessly all the time to offer swim lessons for people of all ages. We have Red Cross classes from adults all the way down to 6-month-year-old, and we also do lifeguarding classes as well and certify all our staff to keep our pools safe during our pool season. So thank you.
Thank you very much. Agenda item number F5 is a proclamation, Public Service Recognition Week. Vice Mayor Clufus will be presenting.
Mayor, Council. Whereas Americans are served every single day by public servants at the federal, state, county, and city levels. These unsung heroes do the work that keeps our nation working. And whereas public employees take not only jobs, but oaths. And whereas many public servants, including military personnel, police officers, firefighters, border patrol officers, embassy employees, healthcare professionals, and others risk their lives each day in service to the people of the United States and around the world. And whereas public servants include teachers, doctors, nurses, train conductors, astronauts, safety inspectors, laborers, computer technicians, social workers, and countless other occupations. Day in and day out, they provide with dignity and integrity the diverse services of their government demanded by the American people. And whereas without these public servants at every level, continuity would be impossible in a democracy that regularly changes its leaders and elected officials. Now, therefore, be it proclaimed that the City Council of the City of Palm Coast does hereby recognize May 5th, 2019 through May 11th, 2019 as Public Service Recognition Week. All citizens are encouraged to recognize the accomplishments and contributions of government employees at all levels, federal, state, county, and city. Signed this 7th day of May 2019, City of Palm Coast, Florida, Mayor Melissa Holland.
Excellent.
Congratulations.
On behalf of myself and the city staff, we appreciate, Madam Mayor and Council, all of your recognition and your support for the city. I've been with the city over 45 years, and so I've seen Palm Coast come a long way from basically a little development to a thriving, beautiful city. And it's because of the teamwork of the city staff along with the council, and we appreciate that. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much for all your years of service.
Thank you.
Now move to agenda item number G6, which is an ordinance. Mr. Reichman.
Certainly, Mayor, Council. This is an ordinance of the City Council of the City of Palm Coast, Florida, providing for the amendment of the City of Palm Coast 2035 Comprehensive Plan, as previously amended. This is pursuant to Chapter 163 Florida Statute, and amends the future land use map or FLUM designation for 89 acres, more or less, of certain real property from Flagler County future land use map designations mixed use, high intensity, and mixed use, low intensity, to City of Palm Coast designations of mixed use, as described in more detail in the legal description, which is an exhibit to this ordinance. This ordinance provides for conflicts, ratification of prior acts, codification, severability, and effective date. Mayor, this is the second reading of this legislative matter and this adoption hearing.
Matt, did you want to add anything to it before we have staff present, or no?
Just a quick overview. This will actually address items number 6 and 7. It's Marina Village Lighthouse Harbor Flume rezoning. Again, as Mr. Reichman noted, second reading. Staff has worked extensively with the developer to address council concerns from the first reading of this. This is a mixed-use development in an area that presents opportunity for residential and some much-needed waterfront-based recreational and leisure opportunities that are intended to serve the entire community.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Good evening, Mayor and members of City Council. Jose Papa for the Community Development Department. Just a brief overview of some of the changes since first reading. Again, 89 acres, newly annexed area. It was a future land use map and a zoning map amendment, basically changing it from the county designations to city designations for the flume and for the zoning. As required by state law, the flume amendment was transmitted to the state land planning agencies and the other state agencies. We did not receive any substantial comments on the flume amendment, and so there are no changes proposed to the proposed flume amendment. Moving on to the master plan development, which is part of this package, basically staff worked based on comments that we received from City Council in the first reading. We worked with the applicant to make some changes to the application. Highlighted by these following bullet points: 1, deleting the alternate conceptual master plan; 2, deleting the multifamily units on track 6, and that would be the track that's adjacent to Sea Ray, and that's this track. So clarifying that that's where the dry storage is permitted on that tract. And finally, the issue of the buffer between track six, that track we just went over, and the Sea Ray property, doubling that from 10 to 20 feet. Again, in this case, you would have a non-residential use adjacent to another non-residential use in this instance. And those changes are also reflected in the track map that's attached to the MPD. And again, the main changes here is that in track 6, you would see that the only permitted uses are those which are consistent with our general commercial zoning districts. So at this time, staff, and as well as the planning board, recommends approval of both the flume amendment and the zoning map amendment with the MPD agreement and the changes summarized by staff. And I'd be happy to entertain any questions.
Well, any questions at this time? Open up to the public. Any member of the public wish to make public comment on agenda item number G6, please do so at this time. Seeing none, I'll close public comment and take it back to this council.
Move approval.
Second.
And seconded. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Seeing none, it passes unanimously. Agenda item number G7 is an ordinance. Mr. Reichman.
Mayor, Council, this is an ordinance of the City Council of the City of Palm Coast, Florida, providing for the amendment of the official zoning map as established in Section 2.06 of the City of Palm Coast Unified Land Development Code. This ordinance amends the official zoning map for 89 acres, more or less, of certain real property generally located at Colbert Lane and Roberts Road. It's more particularly described in the attached Exhibit A to the ordinance. Rezoning from Flagler County Planned Unit Development, or PUD, to City Master Plan Development District, MPD, Zoning District, with a development agreement attached to the ordinance as Exhibit B. This ordinance provides for severability for conflicts, provides for an effective date. This is the second reading of a quasi-judicial matter, Mayor, so if there have been any ex parte communications since first reading, those should be disclosed at this time. Let's let the record reflect there are no ex parte communications.
Matt, there's nothing else to add. We can just put it to staff?
Yes, thank you.
Great.
We presented the changes with our in the previous PowerPoint, so there's nothing for staff to add at this time, Mayor.
Council, any questions? I'll open up to the public. Any member of the public wish to make public comment on agenda item number G7, please do so at this time. Seeing none, I'll close public comment, take it back to this council.
Move approval. Seconded.
Moved and seconded. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Seeing none, it passes unanimously. Agenda item number H8 is an ordinance. Mr. Reichman.
Yes, Mayor. It's an ordinance of the City Council of the City of Palm Coast, Florida, providing for the amendment of the official zoning map as established in Section 2.06 of the City of Palm Coast Unified Land Development Code. It's amending the official zoning map for 7.1 acres, more or less, of certain real property generally located 1/2 mile south of State Road 100 on the east side of Old Kings Road, being more particularly described in the attached Exhibit A to the ordinance. Rezoning from Flagler County designation of agricultural to the City of Palm Coast designation of general commercial, or COM2, and preservation PRS zoning districts, providing for conflicts, providing for severability, and providing for an effective date. This, Mayor, also is the first reading of a quasi-judicial matter, so any ex parte communications received by this council on this quasi-judicial matter should be disclosed at this time.
Council, any quasi-judicial? None. Okay. Matt?
Thank you. This parcel is located, obviously, in an important corridor in the city's future planning effort. This parcel was part of an approximately 800-acre annexation dating back to 2009. This parcel provides a unique opportunity to expand the existing cemetery, which is north of this subject property, but it also balances the need to recognize the environmentally sensitive areas located along this corridor. And with that, we have Jose Papa here to present.
Great.
Thank you again. This is a straight rezoning, and what we have here is about 7.1 acres, which is south of Craig Flagler Palms Cemetery, Funeral Home Cemetery, and this application is for that of a zoning map amendment for the subject 7 acres. The future land use map designation of the current property, you have about 6.6 acres in red, which is the mixed use designation. And if you look at the buffer, there's about 5.5 acres on the eastern edge of this parcel that's in conservation land use. And that's due to the sensitivity of the areas to the east of this parcel. So the existing zoning designation, it still retains its previous zoning designation, which was agriculture from Flagler County. And so under the proposed zoning map amendment, the bulk of the site, the 6.6 acres, will go to a general commercial or COM2 zoning district consistent with the funeral, with the Flagler Palms Cemetery to the north. And the boundary, which was designated as conservation in the future land use map, will be designated as or zoned preservation, again, protecting it from any vertical development, but allowing access to get to the newly expanded site. With any rezoning, we look at the comprehensive plan for consistency with the proposal, and we find this proposal to be consistent with the following comprehensive plan policies: being contiguous to developing areas of the city and not promoting urban sprawl. There is the availability of infrastructure to the area, its location as a commercial non-residential development, again, in one of our future developing quarters, Old Kings Road South. And again, the proposed zonings of COMP 2 and preservation are consistent with the existing flume designations of the parcel. Looking at the other zoning criteria, again, it's consistency with a comp plan, not having a significant impact on public facilities, having the available infrastructure adjacent to the site, not creating a hazard, and it's being located on a major arterial. And again, the COM2 zoning will expand the opportunity to provide services to residents, and that's to allow for the expansion of the cemetery in a growing community like ours. So based on those findings, staff and the Planning and Land Development Regulation Board are recommending approval of this rezoning. And in the future, once approved, there will be a site plan or plat approval that will be processed through staff.
Council, do we have any questions at this time?
I can obviously see the growth of that business, and they need to expand.
Open up to the public. Any member of the public wish to make public comment on agenda item number H8, please do so at this time. Seeing none, I'll close public comment. Take it back to this council.
Move of approval.
Second.
Moved and seconded. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Seeing none, it passes unanimously. Agenda item number H9 is an ordinance. Mr. Reichman.
Mayor, an ordinance of the City of Palm Coast, Florida, annexing by voluntary petition property located contiguous to the City of Palm Coast in accordance with the voluntary annexation provisions of Section 171.044 Florida statutes. This ordinance redefines the boundaries of the City of Palm Coast to include properties owned by JTL Grand Landings, LLC, located generally south of State Road 100 between Belterre Boulevard and Seminole Woods Boulevard, approximately 90.7 acres, as more typically described in this ordinance. It provides for findings, provides for redefining the corporate limits of the City of Palm Coast, Florida, for the taking of administrative actions, for severability, non-codification, provides for an effective date, Mayor. This is an administrative matter, and it is first reading.
Do you have anything to add?
Yes, thank you, Honorable Mayor, City Council. Just by way of background, it is located within the city's water service area. This annexation is intended to promote an orderly development that's south of the airport through the eventual incorporation of those annexed areas and into the Grand Landings development. Last calendar year, if you recall, Grand Landings was the city's most active residential development, and these parcels have been part of that common ownership of Grand Landings and have been intended to be annexed to the city as Grand Landings built out.
Thank you. This annexation is for 90.7 acres, as we previously went over during our workshop, that the 90.7 acres is adjacent to Grand Landings, which is approximately here. And the landowner's plans for the future is that these lands will be amended and developed as part of Grand Landings. And as Mr. Morton mentioned, Grand Landings is one of our fastest growing community or areas in the city. And this annexation does meet all the statutory requirements for annexation.
Council, any questions or comments at this time?
None.
I'll open up to the public. Any member of the public wish to make public comment on agenda item number H9, please do so at this time. Now I'll close public comment. Take it back to this council.
Move of approval. Second it.
Moved and seconded. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Seeing none, passes unanimously. Okay, we'll now move to agenda item number I-10, which is a resolution approving the purchase of materials, equipment, design, and construction services and related expenses for improvements at city facilities 1 Welfare Grade and 2224 Utility Drive.
Yes, thank you, Honorable Mayor, City Council. We were asked to go back and look at a question, I think, to bring an answer back. As far as using $1 million potentially out of reserve, that is feasible. It is permissible to do that. At this point, I think through the presentation, staff would recommend considering that use of potential money in light of the entire budget process, in light of the CIP, and in light of the proposed master plan that's coming before you, mainly because the usage of the money at that point doesn't seem to materially advance the project in any meaningful way as far as us being able to design a phase around that portion of the money. You'll also notice some changes in tonight's presentation, which the chief will walk through. We have also added the proposal of two additional lifts to Station 25 using $16,000 out of the fleet fund. The lifts will do a couple of things, help us address some operational safety. It's going to also give us some more flexibility. We have another option now if we do that for maintenance of fire apparatus in a covered facility on an engineered floor with a lifted roof, which is great. We were talking today to add some emergency capacity in the event of closures, building issues at the existing public works facilities, or in the event of a storm event. And finally, which is good to note, that the jacks can and will be used in the ultimate master plan of the facility. So the purchase of that equipment will sequence nicely into the ultimate master plan and will be, again, a value add in several different ways. Thank you.
Good afternoon, Mayor and Council. With me today is Mike Peel from Stormwater. I'm Jerry Forte, and Elena Alves is with us also to discuss financial options as we go further into the plan that we're going to review. As we've seen in the past, we've had the Phase 1, Phase 2 considerations, Phase 1 being the fleet facility where the new fleet facility will be raised, south end of the property. Phase 2 will be discussed later on in the future, several years down the road, and we'll get into timelines after that. Most of what we're going to talk about has already been discussed, and we'll highlight some areas where we spoke with Ms. Branquino about safety concerns, and Ms. Alves will talk about the financial aspects. Immediately, expedite the process with no taxes or revenue sources. This first phase will start immediately with the purchase of the lift jacks, moving in a new facility trailer system into the Public Works Center and the one on Utility Drive. It's going to address the immediate needs of over congestion and improve safety operations and efficiencies. The area highlighted in green is enhancing the approach to the large apparatus, which was a major concern of council at the last meeting. When discussing what those issues were, we were able to identify that the large dual-axle trucks that are lifted up outside the bay at facility on Wellfield Grade will now be done at Station 25, where there is already a location set up for a system that's going to lift the trailers and the trucks, and the safety trailers will be on present location to handle any concerns that might be there. The lifts itself will be brought over to the main station at Station 25 anytime that there will be any type of use of the equipment on the large trucks, the aerial device, the ladder, and the tower truck. To address the water issue and the intrusion on the east side of the building, there's going to be a gutter system put onto the buildings, move the water away from the facility. On the north end, they're going to add an area of covered fleet to the service area and additional restrooms to the main building and the structure that's currently occupied by the administration office. There's going to be a meeting training room area in the same administrative office, and the current administration is going to be moved to the five-trailer system over at Public Works. This is an immediate need that we can fill in a short period of time. It's fiscally responsible, and it's going to be part of the master plan. And as we start to see that phase one will be completed within the next 2 to 3 years, and this process will help alleviate a lot of the congestion that's going on in the current facility. We've seen this chart before where this is Wellfield Grade. Anything on the top end of the picture is the area of the water intrusion. In the center is the area of the main fleet building where all the work is done. And the trailer is to the south and north end of the facility where the two trailers will be coming out and five trailers will be replacing that for the administration part of the complex. This is the utility drive site, which was covered in the last presentation. Everything to the south end of the location is where the fuel tanks are going to be stored and still maintained. Everything north of the driveway is where the new stormwater facility is going to be. Area A is the area in question that's got the water intrusion. And by cutting a French drain in the western side of that building is going to alleviate some of the water problems and the issues that were put there from the buildings. On the east side of that same building is going to be a gutter system going into the swells. Section D, or Building D, is going to be relocating several of the bays to the Section C, which is a new building. Section D is also going to include the transfer of the new facility to a training center and an area where the employees can actually use a restroom. B is going to be more along the lines of the current facility where the administration is. It's going to be taken out and additional trailers put in for more additional staff. And again, this is to address the water intrusion, the additional covered fleet service bays by allowing an extra bay in the main part of the building so we can have three bays instead of two, add lift stations to station 25. Well, we will be purchasing two lifts, putting them at station 25, and relocating four jacks to make the lifting of the larger trucks possible. And additional restrooms in the meeting and training area will allow the employees to have a place to congregate, meet, and train without having to be spread all over the property. And by doing so, we're reducing the facility damage by relocating stormwater equipment and personnel to the utility drive so they've got a larger area that they can operate out of. Stormwater facility will mirror the operation that occurs over at Wellfield Grade. The parking area will be consistent with allowing for approximately 40 employees to park with a new five-unit building for the employees to work in addition to the already buildings that are already on the premises. It's going to be for administrative offices, equipment, staff, and parking, including upwards of 30 pieces of equipment in the back, and covered enclosed storage units to utilize for minor types of modifications and equipment repair. Funding, Elena?
We took City Council's direction on no new taxes or funding sources for this facility. So basically, the capital projects fund and the half-cent sales tax will be committed to these improvements, as will be the utilities and the stormwater will be paying their proportionate share. Just like the chief said, the fleet lifts will be purchased from the fleet fund. Here's a look at our five-year CIP as amended to include the project. The Public Works facility in 19 will have these temporary improvements that were discussed today, and in 19 we'll start the designing for the construction of the new building. Now, as our city manager mentioned, we do have the availability of the fund balance to be transferred, but we are recommending that it be done through the CIP process so we can really see what the effect will be on the project. There will be an increase in the operating expenditures since the modular buildings will be larger, will be able to accommodate current needs, and that will be addressed through the operations budgets. Of course, for 19, we're only looking at a three-month difference, but as we do our 2020 budget, we'll see the effect on the department's operations budgets.
Timeline projections at this point look at, we can do a lot of things in the next 3 months. Purchasing the lifts will probably take 30 days, and we can start that process tomorrow if approved. Water intrusion, grading, and installation of gutters can also be done before the end of this fiscal year. Stormwater lease trailer and replace the public work trailer can be done 40 to 45 days after approval. And the stormwater building improvements will begin at the same time as the after the approval is done. Public Works fleet and facilities is going to be done just before the end of this fiscal year and start moving towards 2019. Once the fleet and facilities area has been approved in the next year's budget, we can start the process of design and move towards implementation. And the Public Works additional restrooms and training area can also be done once we have the people out of the main area of the administration area of Public Works and moved into the trailers. Future considerations in 2020 to 2023 can include the design of the new fleet facility as well as relocate the sign and signal shop after the fleet has relocated to their new location, they can actually move away from that area known as A, which has got the water intrusion, and they can occupy the fleet facility. And then from 2024, consideration would be for phase two for later operations once funding is available. And that brings us to our next steps. Approval not to exceed projects expenses in the amount of $975,000. During the budget process, discussion of the reserves and other options to advance the master plan of implementation.
Council, do we have any question at this time?
I don't have a question, but I do have a comment. I would like to thank you for the improvements that we're doing for these workers at Public Works. The sanitary part of it was one of the worries. It's been taken care of.
Yes, sir.
The other part, okay, with the safety, I'm glad that you met with me last Tuesday, and we came up with a solution with using Station 25. Instead of spending the extra $1 million that everybody was worried about, we spent $16,000, and my main worry, which was the safety, it's completely gone. So therefore, thank you very much for allowing this to go on.
That was an easy response. And for the operation part, just making these things happen is just going to be a logistical operation. We can plan it out in advance, and we can move the trucks over that need to be moved.
Thank you for taking the time to do that.
Yes.
Also, when I had asked that we remove the television recording of our intersections out of that building, are we doing that?
Yes, we can do that. The area that they're going to redo the training area, we have to leave two offices in place. That's going to meet the code. If we take down all the walls in there, it's going to open up the facility to a larger area, which is set the building to a different code process. So if we keep those two offices in place, take out the other walls inside that training area, then we'll be able to leave those offices in place. Tyler and the signal shop will be able to move into that location and have all the computer access that they need.
So are we moving them?
Okay. We are moving them.
Thank you.
Yeah. It'll be before the end of the fiscal year when the construction is done in the main building.
Okay. I just want to make sure. I mean, it's one thing to fix a water intrusion building, but it's another thing to leave our employees when we have water in a building and have had it water in a building for a long time. Okay. Any other questions or comments? Any member of the public wish to make public comment on agenda item number 10, please do so at this time. You close public comment. I'll take it back to this council.
Move of approval.
Second.
Moved and seconded. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Seeing none, it passes unanimously. Any member of the public wish to make public comment on agenda item number J11, 12, 13, 14, 15, or 16, please do so at this time.
Good evening, everybody.
Good evening.
Host. Number 12, resolution approving right-of-way road acquisition land donation of Florida Department of Transportation for the Betanzas Woods Roundabout. Roundabouts don't work. Circles don't work. But works as a traffic signal. I don't think we should have a circle there. Doesn't work. You want to slow down traffic, put up the lights, saying the yellow, red light up ahead. It works. Circles don't, and in the future with hospital expansion and expansion of this city, Betanzas Woods is going to end up being a four-lane highway within 5 years, trying to get from 95 to the new hospital or from one to the new hospital. Roundabout isn't going to help that. So please vote against that. Do not consent and tell them to come back with something else. Thank you.
Thank you for your comments. Next speaker.
Steve Carr, on item number 13, it talks about some funding for IT. I was, for many years, was a systems manager for a military organization, and I really realized change, hardware will change, and before you know it, it's more expensive than you ever would imagine it would be. So I would just say do it with caution, because it's a very technical world, very high-end world. You have people that you can hire and everything, and they come in and they get some more training, and off they go. Hear you back with some more people to train. So just be very cautious on it. Thank you.
Thank you for your comments. Next speaker.
More or less, I have the same concern of our resident, Mr. Carr, regarding the IT funds and usage of our taxpayers. I think we are competing with the big boys, which are AT&T, Spectrum, Google, you name it. Those companies are funded by investors, and this city is funded just by maybe 80-something taxpayers. We are not the giants of the fundraisers, and this is very costly, like it was mentioned. I have read that, you know, from people that's been working in these areas, that it could be a whole very expensive IT department to run the software change every year because of the need of avoiding hackers, etc. So it would become very expensive, and it's only the city of Palm Coast taxpayers to fund that. We don't have big investors, corporations here. The big boys have all the tools that they need to run IT enterprises and fiber optics. It is good to be a leader, but the Queen of Spain knows how much he spent on Mr. Columbus to get to America, and he died a pauper. Please, let's don't repeat the story. Just my opinion. Thank you.
Your comments. Next speaker.
Who's McCarthy? Look, on this IT thing, we have to have a certain amount of control. And we don't want to give up control. Now, we can be sensible about software, hardware, and stuff like that. But at the same time, I do not think that us giving everything that we've already worked for to put in the ground and just hand it over to this company or that company or that company to screw us. And they will, because their function is to make money. Our function is the service of the people here. So be wise about that. You know, thank you.
Your comments. Next speaker. Okay, I'll close public comment. I'll entertain a motion to approve the consent agenda as read.
Motion.
Seconded.
Moved and seconded. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Seeing none, it passes unanimously. Agenda item number K is public participation. If you've not spoken at the beginning of the meeting, this is your opportunity to speak at the end. Please state your name for the record, and your 3 minutes will begin.
Steve Carr, Palm Coast. We had on there for May 18th is Kids Park Day. I'm concerned about the park on Florida Park Drive and the kids over there on Florida Park Drive that play on the basketball courts. The World Health Organization, EPA, CDC, many universities around the world have talked about close proximity danger of traffic to children and what it can cause to them. Asthma, diabetes, respiratory problems, sinus infections, and one of the worst, leukemia. We have reached at some point 8,600 cars per day on Florida Park Drive. That's over 3 million cars a year on Florida Park Drive. The basketball court's only 80 feet from all that traffic. All that traffic going by, it's not just the fumes coming out of the tailpipes. It's the traffic dust that kicks up from the tires, from the brakes, wear and tear on the car. All that stuff is making its way to the basketball courts. So what is the how has this affected the children? Are we concerned about how it affected the children? I mean, the reports are out there from these health organizations sounding an alarm about it. And yet, the courts are still there, and the traffic is still there. So let's be environmentally concerned about the health of our children, because that's a part they're going to go there to play. They're going to play basketball. When they're playing basketball, it's high cardio activity, which means they're breathing pretty hard. So it's not going to be hard for them to breathe these particles in. So I just ask you to do something about it. Thank you.
Your comments. Next speaker.
Mr. Mirbach again. Thank you. I want to echo the gentleman's Florida Park issues. Nothing's been done 2 years going. Almost not one. Oh, we're going to study. We're going to do this. We're going to do that. For probably $5,000, maybe even $10,000, three speed humps would have solved the problem 2 years ago. Everybody hates speed humps. I want to do a circle. I want to do this. I want to do that. Everything's at least $50,000, $100,000, $200,000. We're studying this and studying that. Speed humps work. We'll make it a one-way from the park on, either or. You have to get something done soon to stop the traffic flow on Florida Park Drive. There's more evidence coming. You'll be presented it. Health, traffic, and other things. It is ridiculous in many ways that this is still going on. Thank you.
Your comments. Next speaker.
George Mayo, Palm Coast. Number one, who controls the thermostat? It's hot in here. Number two, I see Commissioner Donald O'Brien is with us again, as he is many times. After the election, I had asked the City Council, as we see their commissioners coming to our meetings here, if they could possibly attend some of those meetings. I know all of you aren't retired like me, but they do have a 5 o'clock meeting on the third Monday, I'm sorry. So I was hoping that maybe some of you can also attend meetings. It's one thing to just read an agenda and another thing to be at the meeting and hear the banter and back and forth. Number three, the thing I had mentioned before to this council and was assured it's taken care of, I brought up yesterday to the county commission, is ransomware. If anybody saw 60 Minutes on Sunday, their lead story was ransomware. The city, among the cities, were Cleveland, Newark, Atlanta, Sarasota had ransomware, as well as the Port of San Diego and Colorado DOT. Everybody paid it except Atlanta. They said, we're not paying their $50,000 or $55,000. Well, it cost them 7 years, $20 million, and they never got all their files back. So rhetorical question is, if we're hit with ransomware, would we pay it? I don't want an answer in public, but it's something to think about. I asked the county, do we have an IT security specialist? All it takes, I think, maybe Nick might know, is an opened email by anybody, and you're hit. So I know we feel secure, but I'd like, you know, to look into it just to make sure. We, not to say we aren't secure, but it doesn't take much. So thank you very much.
Your comments. Next speaker. I'll close public comment. We've updated everyone that Florida Park Drive will be put on a future agenda for discussion. I agree it is hot in here, so we can end the agenda. adjust the thermostat. That would be great. I actually watch every county commission meeting on television. I'm grateful that it's televised. I'm grateful that I can watch it televised. And Chairman O'Brien's well aware because we have conversations often about some of the topics that they're discussing, which is a good thing. As far as the ransomware, I would just suggest that we look at that and come back with an update under your comments, Matt, on what we're doing, how we're approaching this, and any other issues. Okay? Okay, discussion by City Council of matters not on the agenda. Councilmember Cuff.
One quick item. I saw the pictures of Councilmember Branquino giving out the 90-90 challenge medals, and that was a big crowd this year. but I did want to thank the staff for another what looked to be certainly a very successful and popular Arbor Day Earth Day celebration here at Town Center on Saturday. Who knew that free trees would attract that many people? But looked like Burnham Wood walking out to Town Center Boulevard with people in carts and buggies and in their arms. And between that and the butterflies and everything else, I think our staff deserves a lot of thanks for putting that on and letting the community enjoy it. That's it.
You said it. I'm not to add to that.
Oh, okay. Didn't mean to steal your thought.
Very good. Yeah. Staff was phenomenal. Yeah. Last minute, Sandy, it's gone.
Vice Mayor Clifus.
I'd only like to add that the Nerf event that was held at Arbor Day, I thought that was a phenomenal idea for the kids to be able to play Nerf wars against one another. That's something that I enjoy doing with my nephews, and it was great to see that at a larger scale. I hadn't seen anything like that before. And, of course, I want to thank everybody who's working for the City of Palm Coast and the tremendous job that you all do, and you make our lives easier, so thank you.
Okay. Council Member Howell.
I attended the Homeless Coalition today in affordable housing, and it was very uplifting to see a significant change from the last meeting I attended. Progress is being made, but unfortunately, there's an education that has to take place. It's really a difficult thing to move somebody out of a homeless situation if they don't truly want to move or they don't want help. And Janet Nichols, who's with the county, she gave an update on 20 people that they tried to help. And they were successful with the majority of them, but you still have some others. And then tomorrow we're going to be discussing this at the county meeting that I go to on the criminal justice side, and we'll see where that goes. But other than that, we are making progress. Yes, they're out of the park, but they're not out of our streets yet, so we got to hone in on getting the help. And I've been working very close with the Reverend Bellino over there, and we've got some temporary action that will help in mind. And I may need your assistance, and oh, yes. I'm about that close to the YMCA coming.
Okay. Great. Okay. And I have nothing this evening. A discussion by City Attorney of Matters not on the agenda.
Mayor, Council, one brief comment. The legislature this year has passed a bill, and in that, among others, and in this particular legislation, which is on the governor's desk, it will provide for an opportunity for litigation against local governments, not just the City of Palm Coast, obviously, the local governments, in the event that there would be a finding or a claim that any local government's codes in the land development codes are preempted. And given the history recently of more and more statutory preemptions, there are consequences in this legislation if it is signed by the governor that will provide for prevailing party attorney's fees in the event that the lawsuit is brought by a private citizen alleging the existence of a city code that is inconsistent or preempted by state law. I bring this to your attention because we will be monitoring if this legislation, if it's signed by the governor. What we are going to be doing in the meantime is taking a look. My office will be looking at your code, in your land development code, to determine whether there's anything that could in your codes that could arguably be inconsistent, but more particularly expressly preempted by the legislature. If we find such matters, and it is a moving target because there is more and more that is being preempted, but if we find something, we'll be bringing that back to you for discussion and for potentially action by this council to make sure that we stay ahead of this potential litigation and we do not face it and not have to expose our revenues to claims for attorney's fees. So that is my report, and we will be getting back with you depending upon the results of our investigation. Thank you.
Discussion by City Manager of Matters Not on the Agenda.
I don't have anything tonight. Thank you.
Awesome. I move to adjourn this meeting.